Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat tuss, 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yo, yo. Welcome back to another episode of Eyes Up Fantasy Football. We actually got two very important things that we got to talk about right in this moment. We got a special guest, Steven, aka Gito, one of my good friends, a person that knows everything about sports. And another is, today is one of the GOATs, one of the most famous basketball players of all time, who passed on way too early. Number 8, number 24, five-time champion, Kobe Bryant's birthday. Happy birthday, my dude. Rest in peace. You did a lot for the game. Now, with that being said, introduce you to my panel.
Hey, what's up, yo? It's the real Jorge.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy, Dr. Mario.
How's it going, you guys? It's your boy, JJ.
The guest. My name is Steven. I go by the name of Gito, and privileged to be on this podcast, fellas.
Welcome here, man. We'd like to have you here, and we have a good show, man. Let's just start it with some news.
Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. Way, Eyes Up News.
What's going on, guys? It's Dr. Mario here with some news in regards to rookie wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. Rookie wide receiver Brandon Ayuk clearly established himself among the top, if not the top, wide receiver on the field during the first week of 49ers camp. However, Ayuk's status for short term now is tenuous due to a hamstring injury he sustained during practice on Sunday morning. The 49ers did not immediately provide an update on Ayuk's status. One play after catching one of his many passes from 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, Ayuk was running a deep route down the right sideline when he pulled and grabbed at his left hamstring. Ayuk and Kendrick Bourne have established themselves as the top wide receiver with Trent Taylor consistently playing in the slot. The 49ers hope to have Deebo Samuel back for the regular season opener after he underwent surgery in June to repair a Jones fracture. Ayuk, whom the 49ers selected with the number 25 overall pick from Arizona State, has shown an ability to line up a number of the team's receiver spots. He is also competing for a role on the special teams for kickoff and punt returns. We hope to have him back on the field soon.
That's going
to
be a tough loss for the 49ers. I mean, he was going to be wide receiver one fantasy-wise for the 49ers, but just number one wide receiver overall, the whole team. Ayuk, who's been looking amazing in camp, is hurt. And remember, hamstrings are no joke, so they can linger through the whole season. So I'm hoping that it's something really minor. What do you guys think?
I have to say that I'm very disappointed with this news. I have high hopes for Brandon Ayuk this season, and I'm hoping he's able to maintain healthy throughout the entire regular season so he's able to produce and prove the GM, John Lynch, and also the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, why they drafted him in the first round. I'm hoping when healthy, Brandon Ayuk is able to get a lot of catches and break a lot of tackles for many touchdowns for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Rick. I'm hoping it's something minor. It really sucks, you know, when you hear your first round pick goes down with an injury in general. I'm just hoping it's something minor. He can get, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of days to rest, you know, and we can see him back on the practice field. We all were hearing good things about him. And I don't know what to think. I'm like, all the wide receivers are dropping, man. I'm just hoping, you know, this won't affect us too much. I'm hoping Brandon you can just kind of man up a little bit and at least be there until Deebo Samuel comes back.
JJ, man, I think this is a big setback for the 49ers receiving corps, big time. We lost Hurd, we lost Deebo, and we lost Ayuk. You got to remember, a hamstring can get real serious real quick if you don't get treatment. And if you push too hard, I personally know people that play junior college level football, and you tweak your hamstring, that shit can go as like being out of for 4, 5, 6 games if it goes untreated. Big setback.
Yeah, that's crazy. See, that's one of the things. And you know, Brandon Ayuk, as we all know, he was not 100% of the combine. And the numbers on his 40, they were not what he was expecting or what the coaches had him at. And he still went in the first round. Let's just hope he's healthy. And I'm going to let you guys know one little secret. When I found out on my newsfeed on my phone, this is what I thought.
No, God, please, no.
All right, you guys, let's go on to the next topic. We got some more news.
Yes, guys. And other news today, apparently, in a surprise news, actually, Trent Williams has been dominating sophomore sensation Nick Bosa. Going up against the 49ers second-year defensive end, Nick Bosa didn't allow Trent Williams much time to reacclimate after missing all of last season. Any rust the left tackle had accumulated had to come off quick when facing off against the reigning defensive rookie of the year in practice. Bosa has racked up 80 pressures in the regular season last year and 9 sacks. He also had an interception, a forced fumble, and 16 tackles for a loss. Williams was well aware of Bosa's dominance last year, but getting up close experience made him raise the bar for the young defensive end. Trent Williams was quoted saying, "Nick's, he's better than I thought he already was, and I knew he was top 3 or 4 in the game," Williams said. via NBC. But just going up against him every day, seeing how smart he is, seeing how hard he works, and seeing just how seriously he takes the game, I honestly see his trajectory as being one of the best in the entire game. He went on to explain how high Bosa's ceiling is. When it's all said and done, when you say who's the best pass rusher of all around the end, I think Nick Bosa may be the first name that comes out of a lot of people's mouth. Guys, I got to interrupt real quick and say that it's pretty high praise coming from the left tackle, one of the best left tackles in the game. It's putting him above Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, Clowney, Garrett, all these guys, man. And for him to play in his second year only, dude, like, I'm excited for Nick Bosa, man.
Bosa. Man, yeah, he's just built. He's a different breed. Let's be honest. I mean, we knew what he did last season, and God, I'm so glad the Niners got the number two pick last year and they got him. I mean, he will be an All-Pro sooner than later. I mean, we already know what his brother's doing on the other side. He comes from a very, very knowledgeable football tree with his father being in the league. So they're specialists. Like Kittle said once, I'm glad that guy's on my team. What do you guys think?
I'm very excited that Nick Bosa is doing very good for us, especially after being drafted so high. I wasn't very optimistic when we drafted him due to his injuries history when he played with Ohio State, but once he joined the Niners, he turned that switch on and he's been tearing the league up. He's definitely one of the heavy favorites for the 49ers roster, and Nick Bosa could definitely be competing for Defensive Player of the Year this year. If he is able to play a full 16-game season, I could see him getting a sack almost every game. This guy is hard to stop, as Trent Williams just said. I'm excited to watch Nick Bosa play this year.
And I completely agree with you guys, man. He was a beast last season, and I don't see him stopping anytime soon. From what I've heard or seen, it's must-watch TV when they're practicing against each other. And like Mario said, Trent Williams has won pretty much almost every single one. So I'm just very excited for this season. I'm hoping Nick Bosa can stay healthy, Trent Williams as well, and, you know, both of them dominate on the football field.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but they have Bosa labeled as not participating in practice because of a maintenance day. I don't even know what the specifics are on why this was his second practice that he was not did not participate in, but hopefully it's not serious. I mean, the one-on-one battles him and Trent are doing, I think it's just going to make both of them better. When the season starts, you got one of the best left tackles in the league going up against, my opinion, one of the top four defensive ends in the league, and he's only in year two. Like I said, I mean, I don't know what's up with his injury. He's labeled as maintenance day. I don't know what that means, so hopefully it's not too serious.
Yeah, I hope so too. But let's not take away from Trent Williams taking a whole year off and still dominating. If he can handle Bosa, I mean, what other team can pull this move? You went for having an all-pro, an all-decade tackle in Staley, and you replace him with Trent Williams. Jeez, man, the 49ers, they know what they're doing. And I'm glad Trent Williams is also on our team. All-pro tackle, hoping he can get a contract extension and we'll have him around longer.
On other news, Dee Ford was injured today in practice after tweaking his right calf during one-on-one drills and did not return to the field. He was later seen jogging down the sidelines but did not participate in any team drills. Last year, Dee Ford, he missed a total of 5 games due to injury. And coming from Kansas City, he was already labeled as an injury-prone player. However, when healthy, he is one of the best defensive players in the league. Playing alongside with former number 2 pick in the 2019 NFL draft, Nick Bosa, Dee Ford took down opposing quarterbacks for a total of 6.5 sacks, 6 tackles for a loss, and 2 forced fumbles last year in 2019. Entering his 7th year in the NFL this year, I believe Dee Ford, he's going to bounce back. He has to bounce back. We gave him a really nice contract when he joined our team, and I hope Dee Ford is able to stay healthy and play alongside Nick Bosa for most of the season and prove why the 49ers are one of the best defensive teams in the league and also one of the best front sevens in the league, if not the best. What do you guys think?
I'm just a little nervous because I'm like, everyone's getting injured. I get it. You know, they have to work. They have to practice a little harder, maybe a little bit more aggressive since we're not going to have no preseason games. You know, they're trying to, you know, leave everything on the field. I'm just hoping, you know, no more injuries happen, you know, and these are all like minor injuries. But like you guys said, you know, some hamstrings and some other things, you know, can be more serious than not. I'm just hoping, you know, no more injuries from here on out, man. We have what, about 2 weeks away from the beginning of the season. So
I'm hoping he is poised for a comeback, not just any comeback though, but that entire D-line, if you guys remember, all of last year was like a family. They would compete, have friendly competition against one another, who could get the most sacks in the game, who could get to the quarterback first. And you know that old phrase, iron sharpens iron. I feel like that is the case with this defensive line. You got Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, and now Dee Ford, who wants to hang with the young guys. I'm excited to see what they produced, and I'm hoping that Dee Ford has a great year.
Do you think he's going to be able to get under or over 6.5 sacks, which is what he got last year?
I predict Dee Ford, he gets over 6 sacks in the entire season. I would even go and say of 8 sacks. I mean, you got to call me crazy, but yeah.
Man, hopefully, you know, everybody, all the other bloggers and people that attending the 49er training camps said that his knee has looked the best it's looked his entire 49er career thus far. They said it was like a brand new knee. He was looking like the Auburn University Dee Ford. You know what I'm saying? The guy who's the top first round draft pick, and to get a hamstring injury, I mean, we already know he was like injury prone, so I mean, hopefully he can bounce back from that hamstring, like the same thing like with Brandon Ayuk, like just get treatment and, you know, let the guys rest up. But I'm going to say he goes over 6 sacks just because Nick Bosa is going to get double and triple team the whole season. They're going to double and triple team him. So Dee Ford is going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups. Also, they're going to play Kentavious Street on the outside. They say he's looking great. So, I mean, them guys should both have big years, especially playing on the opposite side of Bosa.
I completely agree. I think the D-line is one of the best D-lines in the game. Dee Ford, yes, like Gito stated, I think, you know, Dee Ford coming back, finally healthy. I know he had surgery right after the Super Bowl on that knee. So he's been looking great. It sucks because he does have that injury-prone tag on him, and nobody likes that. But we know what he can do when he's healthy. Last year, we knew when he was out of those few games, double and triple-teaming Bosa, so Bosa couldn't do anything. You know, the 49ers D-line, and everybody knows that it's one of the best in the league. The big key for me, I think, is going to be Kinlaw. If he somehow is able to occupy two offensive linemen, the center and the guard, I mean, that's just going to be barbecue chicken for Nick Bosa and D4. One of them is going to have to step up. And let's not forget, we got Deion Jordan, too. I think we'll be okay. I'm a little bit worried. As long as D4 gets treatment on that, I think he'll be all right. Yes, sir. So now we got more news. What do we got, JJ?
All right, you guys. I got some more bad news from the 49ers. Tight end Ross Dwelly has set out 2 practices due to his foot bothering him. They haven't gone into further detail on what it is, but the 49ers have brought in 2 tight ends for tryouts, Caleb Rep and Eric Swoop. Rep is a rookie that just got cut by the Atlanta Falcons. Swoop's best season, it wasn't a great season, but it was his best season with 15 passes, 297 yards, and 1 TD. They're just bringing in other tight ends for tryouts because I guess we're getting a little too light on the tight end side with Kittle. Dwelly was pretty good last year. I mean, he didn't have big games, but I feel like he was a solid blocker. He had a couple good catches, you know, 2 touchdowns. I'm not sure if they're going to sign any of these tight ends. With Kittle, and even though Juszczyk is the fullback, but I feel like we're still kind of solid there, even with Jordan Reed, even though Jordan Reed hasn't even practiced either. They've been trying to hold him back just for the fact that he has, you know, a long history of concussions and injuries. They're trying to ease him into practice. I kind of feel like we're in good hands with Kittle, Reed, a little bit of Juszczyk, maybe one of these 2 tight ends. But what about you, Rick? What do you think?
Eh, I don't worry about it. We're talking about the 3rd string tight end. Come on now.
That's what I said.
I'm going to sound like Allen Iverson. We're talking about the 3rd string tight end. We're talking about practice. It's like when Gito used to play for Reardon and he was the 3rd string water boy. Right, Gito?
Don't clown on Dwelly, man. You guys, if you know your history, I think he was the all-time leading pass catcher for San Diego State. But he was a stud. He just, I don't know, he went under the radar and went undrafted. But in college, he was good for San Diego. You're just saying, before they brought in Jordan Reed, remember, there was saying that Kyle Shanahan was fine with him being the number 2 guy. But, you know, things happen. Jordan Reed's out there, hasn't practiced.
Yeah, we shall see. I mean, 3rd string tight end, you're right. I mean, what's your take, Mario?
I think they're just bringing in guys to as punching bags to make sure they have the right guy at 3rd string tight end. And if he loses a job to one of these guys they're bringing in, well, so be it, man. Then it looks like we found the better guy on the streets, you know. I'm all for it, man. Bring in everyone to earn their spot. Like I said before, I want everyone on that 53-man roster to earn their spot. Nothing's given for free. I'm all for it, man. Keep bringing in tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, all that to make sure every guy earns their spot. I'm with it, man.
What do you think, Jorge?
I have to agree with Dr. Mario on this one. I want the Niners to be one of the best and healthiest teams in the league this year. That is the key for a Super Bowl run. Your team has to maintain healthy throughout the entire season. Whenever one of your starters goes down, you always have to have that backup who's hungry, who's ready to get that starting job and take it away. So the competition is what matters most. So I'm all for it.
Yes, sir. So now we got some other breaking news. This is actually something that can elevate the 49ers defense a little bit more or not. With that being said, strong safety Earl Thomas just got released by the Baltimore Ravens due to the fact that he punched a teammate during practice over a blown coverage. I mean, Earl Thomas has had his reputation for being one of those demanding, hardcore competing players in the league. And I don't blame him. He's playing a position that's very demanding, especially in this passing league. Now, I don't think he got released for that one more incident that he had. Remember, early in the year, he had another incident where he was held at gunpoint by his wife for allegedly getting caught cheating with his brother. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, we're not TMC, but geez, really? I mean, what do you guys think about this, Mario?
Well, no, guys, so as you guys know, the Baltimore Ravens abruptly parted ways with seven-time Pro Bowler Earl Thomas 2 days after an on-field altercation with the teammate Chuck Clark. The Ravens announced that they terminated Thomas's contract. The Ravens are also expected to try to avoid his $10 million guaranteed salary this season. And if they do that, you best believe that the safety will file a grievance. Earl Thomas after went on to post to thank the Ravens organization for the opportunity. He had a great run. Wish things would have been a different, but you live and you learn, he posted. Thank you, Ravens GM Eric DaCosta and everyone else who played a role in bringing me to be more. Wish you guys the best. But while we're on the subject, there's been some rumors circulating that the 49ers are a shoo-in or are in the mix to sign him. The 49ers should be super interested in signing and perhaps giving a significant pay raise to veteran safety Earl Thomas, whom the Baltimore Ravens released this Sunday morning.
If the Dallas Cowboys want to sign Thomas, so Jerry Jones should come after Thomas with a strong big contract to block the 49ers. I don't think it makes any sense from the 49ers point of view, guys. The 49ers just signed a Jimmy Ward to a 3-year, $28.5 million extension this offseason, and he plays a spot that the 49ers defensive end, the free safety Earl Thomas, would play. Jarquez Guitar is also entering his final contract year after putting a consistent 2019 season as a starter. He gutted out in the playoffs with fractured ribs. I think the Niners are confident with their backup safeties as well. Tavares Moore, Marcel Harris, Jonathan Cyprian has also been added for competition. So in my opinion, guys, this move makes no sense for the 49ers to sign Earl Thomas. He's also been noted as being a bit cancerous to the team, starting fights, incidents, and whatnot. So even though I wouldn't mind having Earl Thomas, I don't think the Niners will pull the trigger for it.
Earl Thomas, also known as one of the best safeties in the league, if not the best, he's going to find a job or definitely by the end of the week. This guy's not going to go unsigned. And the Ravens, they're dumb for dropping him. Whether they pay him $15 million or $25 million, they're taking a big hit on their cap space. So I don't think it was the right move. Maybe they could have hashed it out like grown men. But hey, if this was going to affect the whole Ravens locker room, I could see why the Ravens did it. However, Earl Thomas, one of the originators of the Legion of Boom, also a Super Bowl winner, one of the hardest hitting safeties in the league. He's going to have a hell of a year this year wherever he signs. If he goes to the Niners, I'll be happy. But I have to agree with Dr. Mario. I mean, I don't think we have enough room for him in our defense this year, because last year we were already the number one defense in the league. So I see the Niners repeating the same. And we're only going to improve as a defense. Our defense is really young. I don't really see Earl Thomas, who's 31, helping our defense for the long haul.
Dude, I would love if we can sign him and have Sherman and Thomas, you know, in the backfield. The only thing is he would have to take a pay cut, because I don't think the Niners are going to pay him. He's going to have to like do like sort of like a Richard Sherman kind of, you know, contract, you know, incentives and, you know, performance. But I would love to have him with us, man. I'm like, dude, his career, he has 30 interceptions. Like Mario said, it's going to be really difficult for the Niners to want to, you know, to sign him at the price tag that he wants. So, yeah, I can see him going to the Cowboys, Ricardo's favorite team. Ain't no lie. I want to see him in the Niner uniform.
Man, this is the big news of the day. This is how I see it. John Lynch being the general manager, you have to always go for the best talent available. That's what your job is being a general manager. John Lynch, he has said that he wants high character guys. And right now, Earl Thomas is not that. You know, you punch your teammate in practice for a blown coverage. And, you know, and then the whole drama with his wife, no need to get into that. So when John Lynch went after Jamal Adams, he kind of had to like backpedal on it because he didn't want to upset Jarquez Guitar. Now, here we go again. Here goes the round two of the rumors of the Niners going after another safety. And best believe, if the rumors get serious and they quote unquote pick up steam, Jarquez Guitar is going to request a trade, because he's not going to be having his name and his career being played with like this, because this is basically part two of his job being taken. Do the 49ers have the money to sign Earl Thomas? Hell no. Do I want Earl Thomas? Hell yeah. I mean, that man is, I would compare him to one of the greatest safeties to ever play the game. What's that guy from the safety from the Ravens that played with Ray Lewis? Ed Reed, man. He's on that level. Honestly, I'm happy with Tart. We got with him to the playoffs. We got with him to the Super Bowl. We did not lose the Super Bowl because of Jaquiski Tartt, and that's a fact. And Jaquiski Tartt, in my opinion, is a top seven safety in the NFL. I must just stick with the guns we have, because if we go after Thomas and it fails, and then he goes to the Cowboys, or God forbid, he goes to Seattle, because Seattle, their ownership, they love to spend money. And unfortunately, our ownership, they don't like to. You know, the Yorks are cheap. I would say let's leave it alone, you know, and just roll with what we got.
And you know this, man.
I completely agree with you, Steven. I mean, pretty much, I love to have him. We can't. There's the money. There's the salary cap. There's the conduct. Is he going to be a cancer in the locker room? Great talent. If they do, I'll be shocked. Not going to lie. As a fan, of course I want him. But there's nothing we can do, you know? I mean, only Lynch and Kyle knows. So we shall see. We shall see. So now we're going to go into a special segment where we're going to give our prediction for the 49ers record this coming year.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yo, yo, welcome back. So we got a special segment for you guys. We're going to do San Francisco 49ers prediction for this coming year. Yes, your NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers win-loss record. Dr. Mario, start us off, please.
Happy to take the ball here, Rick. Week one, we have the 49ers going up against the Arizona Cardinals. I have the 49ers easily having their welcome back to the NFL moment and dominating this game thoroughly and welcoming back Kyler Murray, putting him on his ass for his sophomore year. 49ers winning this one. 21-3 with the defense showing up and limiting the Arizona Cardinals to doing nothing, and also spoiling DeAndre Hopkins' long-awaited debut with the Arizona Cardinals.
And you know Uncle this, Stern, baby. Man!
Jorge, go ahead.
I have to agree on this one with Dr. Mario. You know, Niners winning opening week all day, every day. It's what we do. We're going to dominate. Final score, 24-14. Jimmy G goes for 3 touchdowns in that game.
Wow. JJ.
For me, I'm going to give us a win, even though at first it's going to be a close game, I feel like, because, you know, Arizona, we kind of struggled with them last season. We have a weakness against mobile quarterbacks. So Kyler Murray, you know, is going to use his feet against us. And they just added DeAndre Hopkins. So, you know, they have another weapon. But I still give this one to the Niners, 28-17.
Yeah, you're right. You have a point on that. Yep.
Honestly, you guys got me in the pickle here. I'm going to go for the shocker. I'm going to say this is going to be a loss. And the only reason why I'm going to say this is going to be a loss is I feel these injuries are going to drag out. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to catch us. We're going to take an L the first game. 14-10.
No, God, please, no.
I don't know, man. It's going to be a close game, like JJ said. It's actually, we're going to win 24-21. You know, it's a division game. And you know how the division games are. They're really close most of the time. One of the things about the Arizona Cardinals, they don't have an offensive line. So their offensive line is not that strong yet. They have DeAndre Hopkins now. Kyler Murray year two in the same offense that he's been running from college. I mean, he was pretty solid last year. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, the real Jorge. You actually have Kyler Murray in your top 10 quarterbacks, not fantasy, top 10 quarterback rankings of
yes.
Right now.
He's my number 8 for this year, and I think he's going to continue his dominance that he started off for his rookie campaign and was able to get rookie of the year. He put up all the stats, and now with DeAndre Hopkins going to Arizona, it's going to be hard to stop Larry Fitzgerald and D-Hop. They're one of the most complete wide receivers in the league. They have strong hands. Last year, Larry Fitzgerald had no drops. D-Hop is known for not dropping any pass.
Okay, yeah, but did you forget that Larry Fitzgerald's like 100 years old? But I don't think Kyler Murray is going to have that great year this year. So, but yeah, it's going to be a close game. JJ was right. You're right. I just feel like we're all going to have to embrace ourselves because DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, that's a great combo. So now moving on to week two.
Week two, gentlemen, we have the 49ers going up against the Jamal Adams-less New York Jets. I have the 49ers easily dominating this one and the winning streak continuing, baby. 49ers easy, 28-10.
I have to agree with Dr. Mario on this final score. Niners, they're going to easily win this one. They're going to dominate. This is where the defense is going to have fun. I believe Sam Darnold's going to go down at least 3 to 4 times in this game. And the Niners easily will win 34-13.
Okay, we're kind of close there, Jorge. We're kind of close there. I know, I agree. The Niners defense should dominate this game. At least 3 sacks. Yeah, the Jets really have no weapons. No Jamal Adams. They're like another Miami Dolphins. So I want to give this win to the Niners, 31-7.
Definitely a blowout. I got the 49ers winning big. I'm going to say 28-10.
Yes, it's going to be a blowout. Niners defense are just unstoppable. The D-line, like I said, they're going to dominate the whole game. I got the Niners, 27-10.
Week three, moving on, gentlemen. We have the 49ers going up against the New York Giants, staying the Big Apple and taking two bites out of it. I have the 49ers easily dominating this 35-7.
Again, I have to agree with Dr. Mario on this one. Niners are going to start off strong, 3-0. They're going to dominate against the Giants. At least the offense is going to dominate. However, I do believe Barkley is going to be able to put up some good stats in this game and trying to carry the Giants back. Final score, 28-24. Niners win.
I agree, you guys. I'm like, it's kind of weird because I think we're all going to have about the same records pretty much going here.
I disagree.
Sorry, let me say, I got the Niners going 7-0 from here to, you know, anyway. But, yeah, the New York Giants, all they really have is Saquon Barkley. Just sack the box. I'm like, they have no other weapon. Their offensive line, I guess, got a little bit better this season, but not really any major upgrades. But, yeah, the Niners should have an easy 3-0 victory, 24-14.
It's another big win in the Big Apple for the Niners. I'm picking them to beat Saquon Barkley Giants 34-3.
So I just want to let you know, Cheeto, that the Jets are a lot worse than the Giants, but you're giving them more points than the Jets. Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're doing there. I'm also going to give them a win. I think they're going to blow them out 34-10, 49ers.
Week four, gentlemen. It's worth noting that this is the 49ers' very first Sunday night primetime game of the season. At 5:30, they face up against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think this will be the 49ers' first test, you know, serious team. And this not being a close one, but definitely they get a run for their money after 49ers winning 35-21.
Competition is going to begin for the 49ers, and I think this is going to be a close game in the first half. However, in the second half, the Niners are going to make the right adjustments and are going to be able to stop Carson Wentz. Let's just be real. The NFC is trash, and let's keep it going. Niners win 24-14.
I agree with you, Jorge. I'm like a lot of the teams in the NFC are trash, especially like Giants, Eagles. Niners should have an easy victory on this one. I say 31-17.
Yeah, it's a big win against Philly. I'm going to take the Niners 24-16.
Yes, I agree with you guys. I think the 49ers are going to win easily. Number one thing about the Philadelphia Eagles is they have all rookie wide receivers except for Jeffrey. Everybody else is new. So, yeah, Niners easily, 27-14.
Well, I hope you guys are not tired of winning because this is the week the 49ers face against the Miami Dolphins. I have the 49ers defense giving Tua Tagovailoa his welcome to the NFL moment, sacking him four times, intercepting him at least once or twice in that game, and the 49ers pummeling the Miami Dolphins 28-10.
Yep. Definitely. This is a home game for the Niners. They're going to play down at Levi's. This is a good sign because we already know what happened last time Niners played in Miami. However, moving on forward, Niners are going to want to take all their aggression out on the Miami Dolphins, and they're going to dominate in this game. 35-7, final score.
For me, I kind of feel like this is a bye week for us. Huh. Come on, we all know how Miami is. Last year, all the players were opting out. They wanted to leave. Then no one wanted to be there, man. They have no team. They have no lines, no quarterback, no weapons, really. I can't say no quarterback. You know, I got to see how he's going to do. He did great in college. So, but I give this one to the Niners, and it's going to be a blowout, 43-0.
I got the 49ers beating the Tunas as well. I got 27-10.
You know, like JJ said, it's I got him blowing them out, 38-10 Niners. Week six.
Second divisional matchup of the year, and it is our second also primetime game of the year. Sunday night, go up against the famous LA Rams. I think this will be another test for the 49ers, a welcome back to earth moment. And I actually have Rams upsetting the 49ers in this game. Jalen Ramsey studying off Jimmy Garoppolo's tape from a year ago, locking George Kittle down, and the Rams just shutting down the run game of the 49ers, and Jimmy Garoppolo throwing two interceptions in the game. Rams winning this one 21-10.
I have to disagree with Mario on this one. Just simply for the fact because I believe the Niners are going to keep their undefeated season going early on. This game is going to be one of the toughest opponents for the Niners early in the season. The Rams do have one of the best playmakers on defense. So Niners, they're going to have to score a lot of points and keep up with the LA Rams offense. Final score, 31-28. Niners win on a last-minute field goal.
I want to say when we go against our own divisional rivals, you know, we have a harder time. You know, they know us. They play us twice a year. They know our offense. You know, they face us more than any other team. But with no Gurley, I mean, Aaron Donald is good. So, yeah, he's going to give us a run for the money. He might have our run game stopped a little bit. But if we get all our players back by then, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, we should have an easy victory in this one. I'd say 28-21.
Leading into the game with the Rams, I got the Niners going in at 4-1, and I definitely think they'll improve to 5-1. And I'm going to go ahead and put the scoring at 24-14.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I also have 49ers winning 24-21. Week 7.
Week 7, guys, we have the 49ers facing off against Cam Newton, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. It's hard to yet predict how they're going to do, because we get to see it, how Cam Newton's functioning with the Patriots wide receiving core, how Bill Belichick is implementing the running back by committee into Cam Newton's performance as a quarterback. If they're working on the read option, I would assume Bill Belichick is working on a sort of scheme similar to that to utilize that off Cam Newton, something he could not do with Tom Brady. But I have my 49ers still edging out the New England Patriots. The defense carrying the 49ers to a 28-21 victory.
Again, Dr. Mario, I have to agree with you on this one. The competition just keeps going up from here. SF on the road at Foxborough. Bill Belichick, you already know he has plays ready for any opponent, and he's one of the future Hall of Fame coaches. I think the Niners keep their winning streak going, winning their seventh straight. Final score, SF 20, New England 17.
Guys, also remember, Bill Belichick used to coach Jimmy Garoppolo, so you best believe he has some memories or some tape left over of Jimmy Garoppolo from back in the days, and he will utilize that against Jimmy, man.
Yeah, I completely agree, man, but I still have to see what Cam's going to do, man. He's been injured. He hasn't been playing. I can't trust him. I trust Bill, but I don't trust Cam, so I'm like, he ain't no Tom Brady. This is going to be a very close game because Bill Belichick is a mastermind. He has trick plays. He knows how to break down the offense, their defense, everything, so it'll be a much closer game than any other game the Niners will have. I want to say this one's going to be a 24-21 victory, though.
Yeah, same here. I'm going to pick the 49ers to win that one. Cam Newton hasn't been the same since he banged up his shoulder, and there's a reason why literally he was on the free agent market and nobody picked him up. I do have faith Bill Belichick put in an amazing game plan together to try to beat us, but he did lose his best defensive player. Dante Hightower opted out for the season. So I'm going to pick the 49ers 28-14.
I also have the 49ers winning. Most of the high name players for New England's defense, they've opted out, so their defense is looking pretty weak. Yes, you can never bet against Belichick, and also the fact that JJ brought up Cam Newton. We still don't know what he's going to look like. I got the 49ers winning 28-17.
Week 8, gentlemen, I want to point out that this is what I call the three death game stretch. The NFL did us dirty in giving us these three games back to back to back. We have the inevitable, the game you won't want to miss. I predict it will be one of the candidates for game of the year. 49ers at CenturyLink Field against the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. This will be another welcome back to the earth moment for the 49ers, and I predict, unfortunately, the 49ers losing in this one 35-21. Russell Wilson dominating the game, and Jimmy Garoppolo once again, unfortunately, throwing three interceptions and thus throwing the game away and making the defense work a little bit harder than what they should.
This game is definitely going to be one of the primetime games of the season. It's possibly going to be slotted as a Sunday night game. We all like to watch Russell Wilson play. We all want to watch the former Super Bowl contenders play. And this being a road game, I think with coronavirus going around, it's going to be very important to know if NFL fans are going to be present at this game or if the sound effects are going to play any effect into this game. Whenever the Niners play on the road, Seattle is the hardest stadium to play. So whether the fans are in attendance or the sound effects slow down the Niners, I don't think it's going to be enough. Reason why is because the Niners are tired of losing to their rivals. They're tired of being dominated by Seattle, and this is the time where we turn the page around. Final score, SF 21, Seattle 17, and let's go. 8-0. How does that sound?
I agree with both of you, Dr. Mario and the real Jorge. Like Jorge said, it all depends on the fans. The 12th man, you can't hear anything. You can't hear your plays, your callings, or the plays they're telling you to call, the audibles, none of that. Like Jorge said, it all really depends on that. If there are no fans in attendance, I feel the Niners will get the win. Personally, I'm going to give Seattle home field advantage. They're always good at home. I mean, even though last year it flipped, you know, we lost at home and we won over there, but I got to give it to them at home. So it'll be a close game, 17-20.
It's going to definitely come down to the wire, fellas. It's going to be a hard fought game. It's going to be, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to be a heartbreaking L. Honestly, the fans do make a difference in Seattle, but fans or no fans, the Seahawks, they just seem to have our number. I don't know what it is. And I'm going to say it's going to be a 21-24 loss. It's going to make us 6-2 for the season.
Jorge has a great point. The 12th man ain't going to be there. We don't care about that. Bring on the Seahawks. You guys are forgetting. We're the NFC champs. Seriously? There's nobody in the NFC that can hang with us. I'm going to give us a win. Niners 17, Seattle 14. It's going to be a close game. Let's go. Week 9.
I hope you guys aren't tired of primetime games, because this is our very first Thursday primetime game of the season, with the 49ers going against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. It's worth noting that the Niners are Aaron Rodgers, or were Aaron Rodgers' favorite childhood team. Let's keep tradition going, eh, guys? And let's keep whooping Aaron Rodgers. I have the Niners easily steamrolling through Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. 42 to 21, with Rodgers throwing two interceptions and the 49ers defense gaining a total of 4 sacks throughout the game.
I have to agree with Dr. Mario on this one. The San Francisco 49ers have Aaron Rodgers' number. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has ever beat the San Francisco 49ers or have even been able to figure out our defense. And that sucks. Being a kid, Aaron Rodgers looked up to the 49ers, and now he's getting manhandled by these defensive guys. However, in this one, it's going to be close. I feel like our offense is going to show up and our defense is going to make important stops when it matters most. Final score, 28-24. Niners win at home and keep that undefeated season going. Let's go.
If I can quote Gito, we do have Green Bay's number. Since I can remember, since with, like you said, Aaron Rodgers, we've always had his number back with Kaepernick, you know, back in the playoffs. This should be an easy one for the Niners. Our defense, if you remember the NFC Championship game, do you guys forget that? We had him scared. He could not stay in the pocket. He kept getting hit, knocked down. Niners got this one easily, 31-17.
Got the Niners winning big on this one. Final score, 34-23.
Damn, man, you guys. I actually have the 49ers winning, and I have him a 9-0. Jeez, gosh. I'm feeling myself. Yes, I got to get drug tested too. Anyways, yeah, I have the 49ers winning. I mean, we already know. Everybody said it. We manhandle Green Bay. 27-10, Niners. So we're going to week 10.
Week 10, we have the 49ers going back to New Orleans for a rematch against the New Orleans Saints. A year ago, I had the privilege to go alongside my girlfriend and go watch the game live, and it was one of the best experiences I ever experienced inside a stadium. Not just a football game, but just everything else. One of the best games I've ever witnessed live, in my opinion. Final score, if I'm mistaken, was 48-46 with the 49ers pulling off a last-minute victory on New Orleans and their home turf. I predict an encore performance with the 49ers beating the Saints 45-42.
This game, 2020 NFL Game of the Year, as Dr. Mario just stated. Last year was very exciting to watch. It came down to the wire. However, the outcome would not be the same. And unfortunately, I feel like this is going to be the toughest loss for the Niners this year. I believe Drew Brees is finally going to be able to outplay the defense, and it's going to get a last-minute touchdown, with the final score being 35-28. Unfortunately, first loss of the season. Niners, hey, not so bad. 9-1.
So I have to agree with Jorge. I wish we can repeat, you know, another great game down there in New Orleans in the Superdome. But sadly, we cannot stop Jared Cook. If I'm not mistaken, he scored 2 touchdowns. And I think he could have gone for more because our defense cannot stop him. So on this one, I'm going to give it a close one. But I'm going to have to give it to New Orleans with a loss for us of 31-34.
I'm going to have to jump on the L bandwagon. The close game last year, we almost blew it, but we managed to pull it off. Kittle got us that big run at the end to seal the deal. But I think the Saints are going to get us this time for sure. I'm going to say 34-31 L.
Pull me in that wagon too, Gito. It's definitely going to be an L. I mean, right now they added Emmanuel Sanders. The Saints added Emmanuel Sanders. And yes, he's 33 years old, but the dude can still ball. I mean, think about it. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees, Jared Cook. Oh, man. The 49ers defense is good, but the Saints, they have too many weapons. I have the game 28-21 Saints. Week 11, the 49ers got a bye. So let's go on into week 12. Take it away, Mario.
Fresh off their victory off the New Orleans Saints heading into their bye week after, the 49ers are going to head over to Hollywood, meet up with the LA Rams for the second divisional matchup of the year. Earlier, if you guys remember, I had the 49ers losing to the Rams. In this one, I have the Niners getting even and the Niners stepping onto Hollywood Boulevard and easy, showing off their W's to the crowd. 49ers winning this one a cool 35-10 with defense coming at the Rams offense from all sides and Jimmy Garoppolo connecting with all of the receivers for 4 touchdowns.
Coming off their first loss of the season down in New Orleans and then adding a bye week, I think the Niners are well rested, healthy heading into LA. I don't think this is going to be a close game. I think Niners are going to take an early lead and never look back. Final score is going to be San Francisco 49ers 30, LA Rams 20. Jimmy Garoppolo throwing 3 touchdowns in this game and the defense possibly scoring a defensive touchdown.
Yeah, man, I agree with you, Jorge. After they have a hard loss against the New Orleans Saints, I don't see them going, you know, 0-2 back-to-back, you know, back-to-back losses. So I expect a big comeback. I see the Niners winning 34-20.
man, I think we're going to split the series with the Rams. I got them losing at Rams on November 29th. This final score will be 24-17 Rams.
Yeah, I don't see the Niners losing back-to-back games. I also have 49ers winning that game, 31-21.
Going to week 13, we have the Niners going up against Josh Allen and the young Buffalo Bills. I see Kyle Shanahan easy taking away the run game from the Buffalo Bills, as well as covering up Stephon Diggs, John Brown as well. I have Jimmy Garoppolo throwing for four touchdowns in this game. 49ers 42, Buffalo Bills 21.
I have to disagree with Dr. Mario on this one. This is going to be one of the hardest games for SF. No fans in attendance is going to play a big effect down in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium for the Niners. The offense is going to stall out. Buffalo has one of the best defenses in the league, and they're going to be able to stop the Niners offense. Final score being 17, Buffalo, 14 Niners.
I'm going to disagree with you, bro. It'll be a tough game. You know, the Niners, after they face New Orleans, there's no other difficult team on their schedules besides the Bills. I see them giving them a run for their money, but I still see the Niners pulling a win 20-17.
Same here. Pick the Niners to win that game. I got them winning 29-27.
I have the 49ers winning too. One of the weaknesses for the Buffalo Bills that a lot of people are overlooking is Josh Allen. Yeah, he can run like Lamar Jackson a bit, but his passing game, he's not very accurate. Yes, you have Stephon Diggs now, but no, the Niners can easily shut down the running game, make him a passer, make Josh Allen beat him. Niners with a win. 28-10, Niners.
Week 14, we have the 49ers going up against the Washington football team. I have this as an easy victory, 21-3, 49ers.
The Niners, they're going to have to prove it why they're one of the best teams in the NFL in week 14, bringing their overall record to 11-2, dominating the Washington football team 24-7. Final score.
So I guess we have three bye weeks this season. I mean, I remember last game, I feel like the rain played a big part last year. This year, I feel like the Niners are just going to destroy them. You're going to blow them out the water. I see a high scoring game. Washington's not even going to be close. 42-9.
Definitely it's a big win against them. I got the Niners winning as well. Big 34-14.
I agree with you, Steven. I actually got him 35-17 Niners. Like JJ say, it's another bye week for us.
Going into week 15, guys, personally have been waiting for this game for about 3 years, man. Since 2017, we have not faced this team. Week 15, it is my pleasure to announce that we go up against the Dallas Cowboys, Uncle Ricardo's favorite team, Mike McCarthy, them boys. I have the Niners making a powerful statement and plowing through Skip Bayless's Cowboys for a 49-21 victory. The Niners defense shutting down Ezekiel Elliott and also taking away all of Dak Prescott's weapons and exposing them for the phony that he is. 49ers, 49-21.
This game is going to be one of the most exciting games to watch. Two explosive offenses. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. However, the Niners have the better defense, and they're going to prove why they're the number one defense in the league this year by beating Dallas. Primetime TV. Can't wait to watch it. Final score, 31-28 on a last-minute field goal win by the Niners.
For me, you guys, I could see a loss over here, man. I'm going to get on Ricardo's wagon for a little bit real quick on the Cowboys. That offensive line, you know, it's one of the best in the league. You know, you have a lot of weapons down there in Dallas, so it's going to be a close game. Very difficult, I think, maybe for the Niners. But it's going to come down to the last couple of minutes. So I'm going to say 28-31, Niners win.
All right, so I think this game is going to be that big away victory for like when we beat the Saints last year in the Superdome. I'm going to pick the 49ers to win at Dallas by a field goal, 30-27.
Yes, indeed. How about them Cowboys? Let's be honest. The Cowboys have a good offense, but it's going to depend on if they're even in the playoff hunt. They got Zeke, they got CeeDee Lamb, they got Cooper. They got Gallup. I mean, I don't think they're going to give us any competition. Yeah, you guys already know how I feel about Prescott. Prescott is overrated. I don't think he can read defenses at all. I actually got the Niners going in there and winning 28-14.
The NFL is shady for him to do us like this. Our last two games of the season are against divisional rivals, the first of which is the Arizona Cardinals. This is a game at Arizona, and in this game, guys, I have this marked as Kyler Murray's shocking the world, telling the world I'm here to stay. Arizona Cardinals putting up the last-minute victory. Jimmy Garoppolo not being on his best game, throwing a few interceptions, losing this game 21-17, Arizona Cardinals.
Very well put. Dr. Mario. The Niners, they're going to get comfortable, especially being week 16, knowing they already clinched the playoff berth. I don't think they're going to bring their A game, and therefore Kyle Murray will rise to the occasion and break down that defense. Final score, 35-24, Arizona stunning the Niners.
I don't know about that, you guys. I feel like we could clinch the division. I don't feel like the Niners are going to take their foot off the pedal. They're going to keep going. They're going to go red hot all the way towards the playoffs. So my prediction will be Niners win 24-10.
That's a good prediction. I'll probably be at that game. I got the 49ers winning at Arizona as well. I'm going to pick them to win. Final score, 27-17. And you can catch them at the Risky Row in Old Town in Scottsdale. Celebrating that win, baby.
You know what? I got the 49ers winning also. 28-7 Niners. On to the final week of the season, week 17. Take it away, Mario.
Week 17, we have the 49ers fresh off their road trip L from the Arizona Cardinals, coming back home and facing it off against none other than who else? The Seattle Seahawks. What better way to end the season? It had to happen this way, right? I mean, got to make it dramatic. Divisional rival being the last week and all. Playoffs probably on the line, even though the Niners have a winning record. Last time they faced off, I had Seattle edging out the 49ers last minute. But in this one, I have the 49ers getting their shit together, finishing off the season with a bang. With a win, 28-21. 49ers with the defense showing up and showing out and making a statement that they're ready to go to the playoffs and go back to the Super Bowl and take it home, baby.
I think this game has playoff implications for both Seattle and the Niners. This is going to be a dogfight. It's going to come down to the wire, and I'm excited to watch the Niners beat Seattle at home 28-24, and they're going to be ready for the playoffs. Let's go.
I agree with you, man. I'm like, this game right here, it's going to decide the winner of the NFC West. Just like it did last year, I predict they could possibly even go into overtime for this game. Anytime they face each other, it's always a high possibility of overtime, but I still see the Niners pulling away with the victory, 27-24 with an overtime win.
Guys, I also want to add, this game is originally scheduled for 1:30 in the afternoon. I am 100% certain this game will get flexed to a Sunday night game because it has to be dramatic. What other way, guys? I mean, all the marbles for the playoffs, for the bye week, you know, Sunday night. America's watching.
America's definitely going to be watching. I got the Niners winning by 3, 27-24.
Man, I actually have the 49ers winning at home with a last second interception by none other than Earl Thomas. 27-24. Now, my record for the whole season, I have him losing one game. 15-1, what? Baby. 15-1. You know, sir?
I have 13-3, man. And I feel like I'm kind of reaching, but 13-3 is what I have them at.
I have them at 14-2, man. The only two tough losses I can see is one coming from Seattle and from New Orleans. That's all I can see, bro.
I got the 49ers at 12-4. We're not sneaking up on nobody. We got the second biggest targets on our back. The whole league is on notice about us, and we're not going to sneak up on nobody. So we're going to get everybody's A game. I think 12-4 is realistic record.
I have to end things off and say that the revenge tour will be nice to watch this year. I have the Niners winning a bunch of games, bringing the record to 13-3. Can't wait.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Hey, if you guys don't know, we're hardcore 49er fans, and we're super excited and juiced for this upcoming season. So now we're going to go to a rapid fire questions.
In 2012, who are you rolling in the playoffs with, Colin Kaepernick or Alex Smith?
Alex Smith. Alex Smith was the king of dink and dunk. He was an amazing game manager. You know, Alex Smith had a finesse to throw in the ball. Like, he can finesse the ball over the back of your shoulder and finesse it in your arms. And Kaepernick, everything was just a fastball, and the league caught on to him, and it was over. His career was over.
Next question. This year, as you watched the NFL draft, the 49ers infamously drafted Javon Kinlaw. I wanted to ask you, if you were John Lynch, who would have you drafted in the 49ers position with that pick?
Honestly, I think we did make the right choice. I think that was the only choice after getting rid of Buckner. I just think the expectations are high for Kinlaw because of Bosa of last year. But, you know, he was a stud at South Carolina. If he can learn some more moves, not just bull rush all the time, the offensive lineman, I think he'll be a stud. But he has that Southern country boy strength that they said none of the offensive linemen can really contain him, except for like Lincoln Thomason.
Excellent answer. I too think that the 49ers made the great choice at Javon Kinlaw. Last question, Gito. Game on the line. Who are you rolling with? The 2012 49ers or the 2019 49ers?
The 2019 49ers, but run the ball. Don't pass.
So this concludes our latest episode. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you to a special guest, Gito. Steven, a.k.a. Gito. Thank you for being with us, and we're out. Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock.
In my Gucci coat, tells 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.